Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
We're not sure what's happening in this case, what the details of the government's accusations are, but as a civil rights organization, we are concerned that the government would be targeting and attempting to seize houses of worship. Whenever you have American houses of worship being seized by the government, it should be of concern to Americans of all faiths.
That's Ibrahim Hooper, spokesman for the Council for American Islamic Relations, reacting to the story recently out about forfeiture actions beginning on a New York group that apparently has some ties to Iran and institutions in the U.S., Muslim institutions in the U.S. Ibrahim Hooper says everyone should be concerned when American houses of worship are being seized by the government. Is that all that's happening here, and why is it happening in the first place? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, and Twitter us at IssuesETC. Robert Spencer joins us for the next 10 minutes or so. He's director of Jihad Watch, author of numerous books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Happy to be back.
Ibrahim Hooper makes it sound like this is the government seizing American houses of worship. Is that all that's going on here?
No, certainly not. And Ibrahim Hooper knows that better than anybody else, but he is a skillful and practiced deceiver. What is going on here is a matter of political action and self-defense, not a religious matter at all. As a matter of fact, the mosques are staying open, and people are free to go in and to pray in them. And that, in the first place, completely gives the lie to what Ibrahim Hooper is saying, as if this is for some sort of First Amendment issue, which the Council on American Islamic Relations has charged. Nobody's freedom of religion is being infringed. They're completely free to go in and out of those places. Now, what's happening is that these mosques were owned by an entity that has connections to the Iranian government. And there seems to be some very clear indications that these mosques were involved in activities on the behalf of the Iranian government that are frankly subversive in the United States. The Iranian government, let's recall, considers itself and has considered itself since 1979 to be at war with the United States. And so when we have these things, these mosques that are essentially entities of the Iranian government in the United States, they are not simply religious institutions. People might be going in there and praying, and as I say, they're completely free to continue to do so. But they are also epicenters of political activity that is does not have the best interests of the United States at heart. That's why they were seized, and the seizure has to do with their financial assets and with some other activities that were going on in the mosques, but has nothing to do with the prayers that will continue there.
Robert, I'd like your reaction to something else Ibrahim Hooper has said of his concern about what he sees as kind of a connection or coincidence between these seizures and something else recently in the news.
I don't really know much about the foundation. Again, we're not getting into the details of the government's case against the foundation. We're concerned about the civil liberties implications of the government's seizure of houses of worship. It's a particular concern that it comes in the wake of the Fort Hood attacks when American Muslims are concerned about a potential backlash and about the perception of the Muslim community in America.
Your reaction, Robert?
Well, you know, there's been an awful lot of press attention given to the possibility of a backlash against innocent Muslims after the Fort Hood attacks. And Ibrahim Hooper and CARE, of course, have done their best to stoke that anxiety among American Muslims and in the mainstream media. In reality, there hasn't been any victimization of any innocent Muslim anywhere in the United States at any time, in any place, anywhere after the Fort Hood attacks. And this just shows that Americans are decent people who believe in the principle of innocent until proven guilty. Nobody's going off and burning down mosques or beating up innocent Muslims. Nobody's doing anything of that kind at all. But Ibrahim Hooper wants you to think that they are doing it, or that they might do it, and that therefore the idea is to intimidate American law enforcement and the American public into thinking, well, we can't act against that mosque. We can't move against this group that is a hotbed of sedition and subversion in the United States, because if we do, innocent Muslims will be victimized and there'll be that backlash again. Ibrahim Hooper would like nothing better than to see innocent Muslims getting victimized in the United States, because he can use those incidents to gain political ground against anti-terror efforts in the United States.
If the shoe were on another foot, so to speak, if this were, say, a Venezuelan group seeking to undermine in that country, seeking to undermine U.S. interests, funding, say, a Catholic church in the United States, and that Catholic church's priest was preaching and conducting activities that were suspected of being seditious or subversive of the government interest, I don't think you'd hear Ibrahim Hooper raising all the suspicions about this.
Oh, of course not. There would be no question. The only difference here is that the Islamic groups in the United States have a practiced and well-worn strategy of using every incident in which a Muslim commits a crime and acts against the United States in some way to try to deflect attention away from the fact that there are Muslims engaging in subversive activity and seditious activity in the United States, and to portray Muslims as victims such that they will be free from scrutiny of their activities and able to continue seditious and subversive activities without the problem of law enforcement breathing down their necks.
What is actually going on? What is it that the government, I mean, as far as we know, suspects is happening in these mosques? What is being said there or urged there on the part of mosque leaders that should cause concern from U.S. citizens?
Well, all of what it primarily revolves around is the connection with the Islamic Republic of Iran, and that these mosques are essentially owned and operated by the Islamic Republic of Iran is the reason why they were seized in the first place. Within them, it is not alleged, at least so far, that there was actual terrorist activity being plotted there or something like that happening. But it does seem as if there was a financial connection to the state-owned bank in Iran, Bank Melli, which has acted as an arm of the Iranian government outside Iran. And this, it seems to be the involvement in these financial activities, which may be going to finance Iran's bellicose and increasingly open pursuit of a nuclear weapon. It may be that is something that the connection is there.
Do we hear groups like CARE or their spokespeople like Ibrahim Hooper clearly condemn Iran's anti-American bent and its rhetoric, its activities, things like that?
No. As a matter of fact, while the Council on American Islamic Relations and Hooper have condemned in general terms the attack on Fort Hood, and they generally condemn terror attacks in this way, they have not addressed the deeper problem. They rarely say anything about Iran or about other governments, and usually when they do, it is in support of Muslims in those places and not in support of the rights of anybody who may be victimized by Muslims in any particular place. But also, they have not addressed in any serious way at all the elements of Islamic theology and law that the Iranians use to justify their bloody and repressive regime. And they do explicitly explicitly grounded in Islamic teaching. And CARE has never discussed or challenged that in any way.
It seems that if they did, I mean, if they just simply came out and said, look, the way that the Iranian government and the proponents of its agenda are reading the Quran is wrong. We do not agree with those interpretations, or we reject these various injunctions from the Quran. This would all be cleared up, more or less.
Well, one would think that would be easy, but obviously one's not. If one doesn't think that, if one doesn't believe that, then it becomes a little bit more problematic for CARE. That seems to be the problem.
What is, I mean, to kind of take the glove off here, if we could, with only a minute before our break, do you think that their silence, CARE's silence and silence of other pro-Muslim groups in the U.S., indicates assent to some of what Iran and other groups want to do?
Yes, I have no doubt about that whatsoever. Look, CARE is an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas terror funding case. CARE has had several of its officials arrested and convicted on terrorism-related charges. CARE has had several of its officials make Islamic supremacist statements about how they want to see the United States become an Islamic government, which would deny equality of rights to non-Muslims and suppress the freedom of speech. And so this is not a group that is, in any demonstrable sense, a moderate, patriotic, pluralistic, constitutionalist kind of group, as they would like to have you think. This is a group that has opposed every anti-terror measure that's ever come down the pike. And then they turn around and condemn terrorist attacks. Well, what are they doing on the front end to try to prevent them? Absolutely nothing. And so when you ask, does CARE endorse some of the things that lead to the Iranian militarism and the Iranian attempt to develop a nuclear bomb? I don't think there's any doubt about that. Absolutely.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, the 13th of November. Our guest is Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, author of numerous books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. You can purchase The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Look for The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran by our guest, Robert Spencer. Our call-in number on this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our Twitter address, @IssuesETC. You can also email us with questions or comments. As we talk about attempts by federal prosecutors to seize the assets of an Islamic foundation based in New York, talk back at issuesetc.org. More with Robert Spencer after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Abortion poses risk for future babies.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
It's a well-understood fact that abortion harms unborn babies, but did you know that it also presents a risk to future babies? A new analysis of 37 different studies performed from 1965 to 2001 shows a significantly increased risk of premature birth and accompanying complications for the future children of women who have had abortions. A woman who had an abortion in the first 6 months has a 36% increased risk of a premature birth. Researcher Prakash Shah noted, when a woman comes in for induced termination of pregnancy, she should be counseled about that risk.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
the media is always talking about how the Republican Party needs to shore up its base with the religious right. I don't know why they don't talk about how the Democrats need to shore up their base of unchurched agnostics and atheists.
It's like living a sanctified life. Does any one of us ever live the kind of sanctified life that we should? No. So does that mean we stop trying? Well, of course not. And that's the way I see closed communions. Just because we can't do it perfectly doesn't mean we should get rid of it.
It's one of the most critical votes we've had in the pro-life movement in many, many years, and they are just beside themselves. And so the long knives and the venom is coming out, and I'm a very unpopular person.
The left thinks that they can ride that tiger, that they can use them, and then they will be able to control them. They are very, very, very naive in that regard.
Just a sample of what you'll be voting for in Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about 5 minutes. One of the candidates is our guest right now, Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. Robert, is this simply a matter of two things? Legally, Islam trying to do business here in the U.S. without what they need, explicit permission from the Treasury, and what it is they are actually funding through these foundations? What kind of activities? What are they propping up here in the U.S.?
Todd, I think it's much more sense of the latter, that the problem is what they're funding in the U.S. and elsewhere. After all, we know that the Islamic Republic of Iran is funding the terrorist groups Hamas and Hezbollah, both of which are set to destroy the state of Israel, determined to destroy the state of Israel. Iran is supplying them with money, supplying them with weapons. Iran is also one of the chief financiers of the failed state of Syria, where these terror groups have headquarters in Damascus, and which is a huge enabler of their activities. And so this is a it's pretty clear that if these groups, if these mosques are tied into the Iranian financial network, then they are giving money to some pretty unsavory things and some things that are diametrically opposed to what the United States stands for and to the protection of our allies.
What would you say, with only a minute here, what would you say to American Muslims who say, look, my mosque is a perfectly decent place, and I don't think any of the support that I give to my mosque is making it outside our country to Iranian interests? How would you respond with only a minute, Robert?
Well, I'd say I'm glad to hear that, but surely you understand that with so many mosques giving money to various jihadist entities, so many Islamic charities being shut down for their ties to terror groups, surely if you truly oppose those things, then you can't in good conscience also oppose the attempts by investigators to stop this source of terror financing.
And then if we are left with the position that Ibrahim Hooper wants us to understand, that this is merely the government seizing American houses of worship, how would you correct that picture that he draws for us? 30 seconds, Robert.
These are political entities that are engaged in political activities, many of which are subversive and seditious, and consequently they have to be dealt with as such. Moreover, the congregants' freedom to worship is not infringed. The mosques are not closed down. People can go in there and pray. They just can't plot against the United States.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, author of numerous books on Islam, including his latest, The Complete Infidel's Guide to the Quran. Robert, thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.